This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am in Ocala, Florida, and this is Glenn the Geek.
You threw me off. You mixed it up.
I threw myself off, actually. That wasn't intentional.
I'm Jamie Jennings, coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 5th, episode 1846, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Take it, BB.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
And when you're dead, do done. So let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together and let the good times roll.
Glenn, I got to let you know something's very, very sad right now. I've got some really sad news to start out the Friday show.
What's that?
Chad and Lucas are both gone to Oklahoma for the weekend, so I'm home all by myself.
Oh, I bet you were so depressed.
I'm like, just leave the trailer hooked up. Where are we going, Zeus? I don't know what I'm going to do with myself, Glenn. I have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They'll be home Sunday evening. They left last night. I slept in my bed like a starfish, okay? As sprawled out as I can with two more dogs in the bed. How many dogs are allowed in the bed when Chad's home? Zero. Two dogs in the bed. And then sprawled out like a starfish. I left the TV on. I slept most of the night with the TV going in the background, which is crazy. I always turn it off. And then I got up this morning and I didn't have to be quiet. I turned all the lights on. I flipped all the lights on. I'm like, it's morning. And I flipped all the lights on. I ran around. I made coffee loudly. Like, whew, what's that about? And then I come in here, I turn all the lights on, and look, I'm talking loudly because my child is not asleep in the next room because he's out of town, and then I'm going to go ride horses.
I was wondering why I could actually hear you in the pre-show meeting. Usually it's Jamie going, hey, we're going to talk about this today.
Yeah, I'm really quiet. Usually I'm really quiet like this. And this morning I'm like, you get a car! You get a car! I've got the heat on. I'm warm. I'm toasty. I'm usually wrapped up in a blanket going, hey, okay, let's get started.
Now, do you have any problem drinking by yourself in the house? Do you have any mental issues with that?
That's hilarious. I'm like, I made Moscow Mule last night in my fancy cups. I got the copper cups for Christmas. I'm like, Moscow Mule for me. I don't have to make two. I just make it one. And then I'm going to sit down. You know what I did last night, Glenn? I watched Heartland, and I went to bed at 8:45. Crazy times. I'm crazy. But you know what? It was awesome. I miss them so much. I'm so sorry.
Are all alike, because last night I got done recording like at 8:30, and Jennifer's in bed, sound asleep already. I went out there, and I was like, oh, I'm going to say hi to my wife. Nope. Sure.
No, I don't sleep very well. So when I have the opportunity, I'm going to take it.
I'm going away next week. And Jennifer, you're so upset I'm leaving for almost a week, right? I knew you were very upset about that.
Yeah. I'm pretty stressed out.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah.
Yeah, she's so sad.
Go ahead, Jennifer. Let me prerequisite. I went to bed at 7:54 p.m. last night, made my sweet, wonderful, unable to do anything because he's injured from top to bottom husband dinner before I went to bed.
Not to mention, I recorded five shows yesterday and didn't have time to cook. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. And it was good. It was good, too.
That's great. You know what I did for dinner last night? I microwaved vegan tiki masala from Trader Joe's, and I put that thing in there, and I had a microwave dinner by myself.
That just sounds wonderful. That just sounds wonderful.
It's really good, actually.
Have I ever said that I'm really glad I don't live with you? Have I ever said that? out loud.
What did you make last night for dinner, Jennifer? Let's compare.
I made hamburger sauteed with onions and green peas and baked potato.
Oh, you got something green in there. Well, good job. Oh, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's show, there's plenty of whining, sarcasm, and irony. And then, after that, on good day, today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we are going to be off to the races. First thing, as Indian Race Relay Council, yes, there is one, President Calvin Ghostbear. He's going to stop by and tell us about this most unique horse race. Talk about cray cray. They're right up there with Mongol Derby, in my opinion. Mid-show, we are going to have a lively discussion about the most likely topic to pop up on your Facebook feed, the new laws regarding CDL drivers. And to wrap our Friday, it's really bad ads who is going to hit the hilarious button with a sledgehammer. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. My Daily Winnie.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
I have 1.5 Daily Winnies, actually. Auditor Chantal, it's her birthday today. Happy birthday to you. We hope you have a great day. Also, I wanted to mention anybody going on the cruise needs to check the Horse Lovers Cruise page on Facebook. We did an interview last night. Get this, Jamie. We did an interview last night with a guy who has been on the ship we're going to be on, the Enchantment of the Seas, 9 times. So he kind of gave
us all. He's still alive?
Yes, I know. Amazing. So he's going to give, he gave us all the tips and tricks from how to board, because we know we have a lot of first time cruisers, how to board, how to get through all that process, what to do, what little things you can do on this particular boat. He loves this boat. It's his favorite boat, obviously. So we have that. You can find the link to it over on the Facebook page. I just wanted to let everybody know that Rhonda and I did that for
where
you last night.
Where do you find these people?
Actually, we found him through another podcast, and Rhonda knows him through a past cruise. She was on a past cruise with him, so he was super nice about it all. He really was a nice guy, and he knows every bar in that ship intimately, apparently. So,
good for him.
Which I got to imagine, if you were on a cruise, that's where you would be spending 90% of your time.
At least he's not drinking alone. I mean, who would do that?
Who would do that? I don't know.
I want to give my Daily Winnie out to my dear friend, Debbie Laux, because, again, she saved the day. So I went to start another horse, and I think I'm just going to have to kind of call it quits on the starting horses in the neighborhood sight unseen for free, because this last one really got me. It didn't get me, but it was pretty darn close to getting me. So I go over to see this horse, and he's huge. I'm like, oh boy, he's like a big tank, big solid muscle. And I go to put the halter on him, can't catch him, finally get him caught. And he doesn't really lead very well. He's just running all over the place. The girl's trying to put boots on him and he's stomping his feet. I'm like, oh, what did I do? But got to get the video done. Got to get it done. Take him in the round pen. I get a join up. He's like galloping. Remember, I have to start horses in the neighborhood. I have to start a bunch of horses for my exams at Flag Is Up Farm, which is coming up. However, I don't have any horses to start. So I put out an ad. I said, I will start your horse for free in my neighborhood. And it's been very exciting so far. And so this is why I'm doing it. So I got to get the video. So I take the horse in and I go to ask him to join up. And this horse is just flat galloping. In the round pen, galloping. I'm like, oh, this is going to get dangerous in a second. But, I actually works out, and I get a good join up, and he comes up to me, stands with me for a minute, and then he goes back out and gallops some more, and then he comes back in, and then he goes back out, and then he comes back in. So I'm like, okay, let me just clip on and get him, because he's, like, going to hurt himself before I can get the tack on him, you know? So I do all the little areas. I touch him everywhere, and he's very sensitive to, like being touched behind his shoulder almost. But I get the saddle on, the pad on, and then I get the saddle on and I go to the other side and pull the girth down and I put it down and then I go to the side that I am going to attach the girth, the left side, the near side, and I go to reach under, which is my least favorite part, reaching under the belly holding the horse with my left hand, reaching out of the belly with my right hand. And I go to grab the girth and I see the horse start walking sideways, side passing towards me. And I'm like, ho, 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 ho. And then he starts running sideways towards me.
He's got now, all the tricks, huh?
I couldn't do anything. So the next second you see me going, running as fast as I could to the wall at this point. So he's got a breast collar on, but you put a breakaway little thing in case this exact thing happens, which did. He ran towards me and was going to get me. So I had to run to the edge of the round pin as he's coming at me sideways with a saddle on his back with a breast collar attached, but just it has a breakaway string on it. So it's going to break away in a second. And then he just starts galloping. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm right.
You needed a rodeo clown.
Exactly, Glenn. It was like I'd been bucked off the bull and the bull was coming to get me. And I'm like, I go to the wall and it's like one of those round pins. Thank God it wasn't a solid wall. It was like, you know, bars. So I'm like scrambling up the bars and I get basically to where my belly is on the top rail and I fling my legs out and I fall onto the other side of the round pin. And then
Please tell me there's a video of this.
There is no video of this. None. I can't believe there's no video of this because Lucas was with me. He's like, they have a dirt pile. So he's out playing in their dirt pile. And she's like, I'll go get him a juice box while you're tacking up. And I was like, okay, fine. So she comes out. The horse is galloping around circles. I am on the ground on the opposite side of the round pin. She's like holding a juice box in her hand and goes, what happened? I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to have to call this one. So, of course, then I have to get all my crap, which is like getting stomped on and bugged off in the route. But I got my tack, all my lines, all my halt, and the halter's on the horse who's going crazy. So I get pick up the saddle off the ground as he's still galloping around because there's a line attached and it's like a snake that's attacking him. So I finally kind of get him to slow down. I do some turns and get him to stop and I get him and I do get him back to the middle. And I'm like, we can't end on this. So I pick up this saddle pad and I did have to come at him several times, approach and retreat with the saddle pad. And I did get the saddle pad back on his back and I was like, okay, I think we're good. Okay. Cool. We're fine now. So it was definitely exciting. So the reason I'm giving Debbie my daily Winnie is because I called her and I said, hey, do you guys need a horse for the exams? Because this horse needs to be started and I can't do it. I actually told the lady, I'm like, listen, this is above my pay grade. I don't need to be like, this is a horse that has issues. So what they want to tell you things after something happens.
They always do. Yeah.
So this horse was weaned when he was 4 months old and has never been with another horse his entire life. So he has no boundaries. He has no, basically, aside from like a little language he learned from his mama, really doesn't even know how to talk horse. She's like, yeah, you know, I can't really touch his back or his belly. He kind of doesn't like that. He kind of comes at
you. I love how they always tell you this stuff after.
After.
Yes.
After. So, you know, I'm like, basically, this is a remedial horse. This isn't even just one, you know, this horse needs a lot more than I can give it on a video. So I was talking to Debbie and she's like, you know what? I'm going to put you on speaker. And she puts me on speaker and he's like, hello, Jamie.
It's Monty.
I'm like, hi, Monty. Like, oh God, this is so embarrassing. Like, I need help.
Monty's like, I do this every day, Jamie. What's wrong with you?
I know. I'm like, Monty, I don't know what to do. And I describe the horse and he's like, well, he goes, we can't even use that horse in the exams. He goes, you know what? I don't even know anybody in your area who would take that horse. And he goes, you know what? I don't know anybody in the country who would take that horse that I would trust with that horse. And I was like, he goes, unless you want to, she wants to pay to send it here for training. We can't use it in a course. And I was like, okay, I'll tell her that.
It made you feel better about yourself,
so
didn't it?
Bad. Yeah. He's so bad that he's worse than any horse that we're going to use in the exam. So that made me feel better about life. Like, Okay, good. The exams are not meant to kill me. Like, they're trying not to find horses that are going to hurt you. So that's good.
Well, that makes me feel better, too. This whole process has had me a little concerned about your health and well-being.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of done with this. I think that that's enough.
I think makes me feel better.
I'm going to go back and visit the Arabian that I worked with, because he was really, all he mainly had was fear, you know, which was, fear is easier to deal with than aggression. And I actually do think that the horse may be, I told her she needs to get him tested for testosterone and find his vet records, or she's kind of rescued him. So, like, I think he's got, you know,
things, yeah.
some things have. Going yeah. on there to yeah. still too, just like, you know, it's just crazy. So anyway, I got chased out of the round pins.
If you want something to do that looks wild, as wild as what you were doing, you could try the Indian race relay.
Yeah, and this sounds
I watched a video of this, and I could see why it's very entertaining when they do it in front of an audience. And we have, to describe what it is, we have Calvin Ghostbear on, who is is going to tell us all about the Indian Race Relay, and he is president of the Indian Race Relay Council. Who knew there was such a thing? That's why we do this show, is to learn about all kinds of new things in the horse world. Good morning, Calvin.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us today. Now, what part of the country are you in?
I'm in South Dakota.
South Dakota. Okay,
you're
that
really
sounds
hot
cold.
Right now. Yeah. It's really balmy and lovely right now.
Yes. It's a little chilly.
Yeah, so, there's a little frost out there on everything, and we got snow, and it's out there.
I bet it is. And are you trying to be out there or stay inside right now?
You know, this is one of them things where I get to kind of stay in the house and visit you guys. You know, you're 2 hours ahead.
Yeah.
And I'll just keep looking down the hill here and watch to see if my son goes out and starts to chores about me. And then I'll just say, hey, you know what? I was on the radio this morning talking to.
Yeah, I was on for 3 hours with them. They just kept me on for 3 hours and I could not leave the house.
You were so busy.
You're so busy.
So yeah. Busy.
Well, Calvin, tell us about, I never heard of this race, so kind of describe what it is and what happens.
Well, what it is the Indian Relay started, you know, way back with some of the Plains tribes up in, Montana and Idaho, some of the Northwest tribes out here on the Plains, and it's had some twists and it's had some changes from different nations, because every nation has their story on their horse culture and how they've interacted with their horses and how they've kind of came to be as a horse tribe or a horse nation. We've taken Indian Relay from the different nations and from everybody who has participated in it. And basically what it is we've taken Indian Relay to a whole nother level. What Indian Relay is three horses, a four-member team, and on a track. It could be a local track on the Indian reservation. It could be a track at a county fair. And the most of the time, these tracks are about 3/8 or a half mile. And that horse, that team there, they're considered a team. You hold a horse, you got a mugger, you got a rider who's standing by the horse, you got two other horses along the fence line there with two holders holding them. And of course, there's probably going to be five or six other teams out there on the line, and someone's going to start you, and you're going to go around one time with that horse.
Now, you start actually, though, from the video I saw a video at Canterbury Park, which is a racetrack, and you're actually starting on the ground. You have to hop on the horse bareback and then take off.
Okay. The difference with Canterbury Park is that they're already on their horse.
Ah, okay.
There's a couple different ways to do it, and Canterbury Park is a mile track, so they're using a different type of horse, a horse that can run a little longer.
Okay.
Typically, they're running thoroughbreds, and with the shorter tracks, they do run thoroughbreds, but they run the sprinter type thoroughbreds that run, you know, the half mile, 6 furlong, or they'll run quarter horses that can be stretched out to 880, a half mile.
Ah, gotcha.
So okay. the difference is the start is done on the ground. With our organization, we start all of our races on the ground. Of course, we don't dictate to the tribes how they run their race, but when we run our finals, we start everybody on the ground. Now, Canterbury Park, that race there, they did start with the horse, with the riders mounted. And, you know, some people like that, some don't. We just feel that you get a more even start if everybody's starting on the ground. So that tests a couple things. It tests your horsemanship, and it tests your ability to train that, you know, of course, to train that horse and you as a rider to get on, that horse, to get down the track.
Yeah, and I didn't see any of them using mounting blocks or getting even legs up. They were just hopping on there.
No. We don't do that. Things happen so fast in Indian Relay that these guys have taken themselves and they've actually worked and conditioned themselves throughout the year. And it takes a lot of athleticism. The horses are, you know, pretty much, they do the same thing to horses. They feed them up correctly. Nutrition's big. They're also training them horses, getting them ready, because there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of things at stake here. You know, of course, money is a motivational factor, but also the bragging rights and competing with fellow team members or nations, but also the fact that these guys have pride in what they do. You know, you look at how long this sport has kind of been around and to where it is now, where it's more out there and it's more, you have the county fairs, the reservations that have the powwows, but now you're looking at the big tracks like Canterbury. Canterbury is a big track. We had a race up there in Muckleshoot, up there in Washington, that another big track up there, Emerald Downs. Well, what they done with that track was they split it in half and they've added another horse and two more holders. So what you done is you have exchanges on the backside and exchanges on the front side.
Wow.
So you're adapting to the teams. If the majority of teams all have sprint horses, which are half mile horses, you know, you can get some of the best teams up there. Then you kind of compromise and you try to create your race to fit that group of horses and that type of team. So different type of race. Emerald Downs is a mile track, just like Canterbury, but they split it in half and they ran four horses up there.
So it's a relay. They go around, they do their distance. Then when they come back, they have to stop the horse, jump off, and then jump on the next one. I, Glenn, consider myself a little bit of an expert in the Indian Relay because I watched the episode of Heartland about it. Are you familiar with Heartland? You sound like you've seen this show before. It was really cool. So these guys love their horses. They train their horses. They work with their horses. They are, the riders are so impressive and fit, and they're hopping on bareback and galloping around the track and hopping off and jumping back on. It's so exciting. Tell us a little bit about the horses that you guys use.
There's a lot of different type of horses. Of course, the thoroughbred is one of the main horses that's utilized. Quarter horses. And what we're seeing, what we've seen more recently and very competitive, have been the paint horses. We've had paint horses that were, of course, these horses are appendix bred. They either have a thoroughbred mom or a thoroughbred dad, a sire or a dam. And these horses are able to compete with the thoroughbred and the quarter horse and beat the thoroughbred and quarter horse. We've seen that simply because of their breeding. And a lot of the teams now are going to, and some that do breed their own are really paying attention to that because they're breeding for speed. They're going back and they're looking at, you know, basically looking at the dam and all of the black type, what they've done. They're looking at the sire. I mean, so there's gotten to be a lot of money online. So this is really taken off to the point where teams are really looking at that type of horse and trying to make a determination that, you know, if I bred this mare to this stud, then I will possibly have this horse in three years out there running. Or if they're buying a horse, then they look for a specific horse, one that can, you know, stand, one that looks is calm. You know, at a horse sale, you're going to see all different types of horses. Or if you go to buy a horse, you're going to see horses that, you know, in their mind, they look like they're real calm. You know, if you got a horse that is really, really hot and you can't touch and you can't be around and he's going to take you out. I mean, I've heard you guys talking before we started.
Yes.
Here,
Jamie found one of those. Yeah.
And in my mind, it's like, you know, a lot of these young guys can train these horses, but do they really have the time to put into training a horse that's going to require a lot more time of them? Or is it a lot easier for them to look for a horse that has, you know, has the is more calm and, of course, the size? You don't want the 17 hand horse because, you know, when you go around and make one lap or two laps, your legs are pretty rubbery and you're coming in on your last exchange. Then you got to jump on a 17 hand horse, you know. I mean, they're just little factors that these teams and these guys, these jockeys, these riders have learned throughout the relay that, you know, they try to, and it's the advantage that they can get to help them get on and out on a horse.
Well, Jennifer will post a link to the race that we watched at Canterbury Park on YouTube. She'll post a link to that on our Facebook page. I got to ask you, though, you know, in all sports, there's big rivalries. Like we have the Boston Red Sox and the Yankees, right? They're a big rivalry. What nation are you with, by the way?
I'm a member of the Oglala Lakota Nation.
Okay. So now, is there a rivalry between two nations that are the big rivalry?
You know, history and how history has played out, and how it's been portrayed, and how it's, you know, written. In the plains, out here on the plains, you know, I can only speak for the Sioux. You know, I can only speak for, you know, our people and our nation on what I was taught. We've had allies. You know, we were, for the majority of our existence and you know, through time, when the 1800s all the way up into the 1900s, you know, we've experienced conflict with, you know, the government, with the cavalry. And, you know, I will speak to that. Our main thing was, you know, survival.
Right.
So we used our horse in a lot of different ways. We used it in battle. We used it to, to hunt food. We used it to move our, from one camp to another, from the winter camp to, you know, spring. And we moved with the seasons. As far as any nation, one nation being, in rival with another, I think there's a good friendly competition amongst tribal nations amongst themselves. You know, you got the Blackfeet Nation up there. They've got some very talented riders up there. You've got the Crow in Montana, and you got the Sioux. You got Washington teams, you know, very talented as well. I think they have that own rivalry amongst themselves to compete.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But
yeah.
Whenever you go out to run against another nation at a big race, then you see, you probably see Sioux teams kind of cheering for another Sioux team, or a Crow team who is supporting another Crow team, and that's just part of it. You know, that's what you want.
Well, that's what makes it fun and exciting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, you still want all of these riders and these teams come together and shake hands and hug and congratulate. And that's what we promote. That's what Horse Nations is about, promoting in a friendly way, in an honorable way, competition.
Well, I think this is fun. Anytime we see something new that's new to us with horses, we like to highlight it. And the website is horsenationsrelay.com. You can find out more information there. If there's a race in your area, you can go check it out. And we'll put links to that in our show notes and on our Facebook page as well. Have fun this year with all of your competitions. And thank you so much for joining me, Calvin.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Calvin. Happy
thank
New Year.
You.
You bet. Thank
and
you.
And stay warm in
Thank
South
you
Dakota.
Oh, my gosh.
I will. Thank you very
stay
much.
Inside.
Yes, don't go out. Just stay inside forever. <I'm not. laughs> Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, seriously, this was an episode of Heartland. So
was it really?
Totally familiar. Yes.
So they do it in Canada too?
One of the horses wasn't standing still and didn't want him to jump on him and mount it. And then Amy figured out why. And then it got, and then he was like, I'm going to quit doing this. And he was going to leave. And then she convinced him to stay. And like, it was all great. And then he went on, won the next race. Spoiler alert.
Well, if you watch the video that Jennifer's going to post on Facebook, you'll see that there were a few of these horses that weren't standing real still at the transition. So hopping up like it was nothing. I mean, just. Yeah. first of all, are there many of us that could ride bareback at that speed for that length of time?
No.
A dead run. It's just crazy. There's not too many jockeys that are riding races that would want to do that. Yeah, it was fun. They didn't even have saddle. They had nothing on those horses except a sort of halter bridle thing.
Yeah. It's really kind of, those people are crazy, but from what I see, they really love their horses. They have to train them to be able to do this.
I like to have them all decked out in more paint and stuff too. It's really cool. It's really cool. And I always said that racetracks have to do more to draw in people, and they have to do more different kinds of things to draw people in. And it looks like Canterbury's on board doing different kinds of things. So good for them.
Well, Turf Paradise. Let's go. I want to go.
There you go. Sorry, but there's enough tribes down there in Arizona. You should be able to make that happen.
I know.
Now, Karen from Kentucky Performance Products joined recent Philip from the Dressage Show last night, and she came up. She wanted to make the whole feed. How much hay, extra hay, do you feed when it's cold out? How much extra hay do you feed when it's cold out? A simple thing to understand, because most of the time you hear this explanation and it's very complicated. She made it so simple. So right after we hear their commercial, you're going to hear Karen talking to Reese and Philip, and you're going to hear her formula. It's just a couple minutes long on how much extra hay to feed based on temperature. And so I think you'll appreciate this, because to me, it finally made sense. She talked in flakes, not ounces. So here you go. This is that.
The sun is just peeking above the tree line as you walk into the barn. You grab your horse's halter off the hook and head out to the field. The dew shimmers in the sun as you walk across the damp grass. You call his name and his head comes up as he walks toward you looking for the apple in your pocket. You take your time grooming, enjoying the peace and quiet in the empty barn. A refreshing breeze greets you as you start down the tree-lined path. Your horse ambles along on a loose rein as you both enjoy a relaxing ride. The feeling you get on an early morning hack is why we do what we do at Kentucky Performance Products. This feeling is brought to you by Microphase. Fill the nutritional gaps in your horse's diet. Microphase vitamin and mineral supplement is a low-calorie way to provide your horse with the vitamins and minerals missing from their diet. The horse that matters to you matters to us.
The critical temperature for a horse is 45 degrees. At 45 degrees, a horse needs to start using more energy to stay warm. Now, that doesn't mean that the horse gets cold at 45 degrees. It just means at 45 degrees, his body needs more energy to produce the heat to keep him warm. Horses don't start to feel cold if they have a winter coat on until about 19 degrees. That's when they'll feel cold. But they'll start using more energy at 45 degrees. And that's called critical temperature. So for each degree below that critical temperature, your horse requires 1% more in digestible energy. Now, for most horse people, that's Greek. What are you talking about? Nobody knows what the digestible energy of their horse is. So what I did for you guys is I went through a bunch of scenarios, different size horses, different types of hay, different workloads, and I came up with some thumb rules that you can use. So drum roll.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
If it's 30 degrees out, so that's 15 degrees below critical temperature, this is a horse with a winter coat or a horse that's being blanketed. If they're clipped, that critical temperature goes up about 10 degrees. If they have you know, a light coat, or if they're old, young, old horses, I would move my critical temperature up about 10 degrees because they're gonna expend energy sooner. But at 30 degrees, you should feed 3 to 4 more pounds of hay a day. So most flakes weigh, you know, 2 pounds, 3 pounds. You can weigh your flakes of hay, just put them on a fish scale, or throw them on, you know, a scale in your kitchen, or jump on your bathroom scale with a few flakes to see how much they weigh. Weigh several of them, and that'll give you an idea. But the average is about 2 to 3 pounds. So that's like 1 to 2 flakes more a day. So at 30 degrees, if you've got an easy keeper, throw them an extra flake. If you've got a hard keeper, or if you've got somebody that's working hard, throw them 2 or 3 more flakes a day. You can stretch it out during the day, or you can just give it to them last thing at night, however you want to do it. When it gets down to 15 degrees, you need about 6 to 8 extra pounds of hay a day. So that's 3 to 4 flakes. And when it gets down to 0, 10 to 12 pounds more of hay a day. So that's on top of what you're already feeding. And that's 5 to 6 flakes a day. So that, you know, if your horse is maintaining weight and you're happy with what they're doing, when it gets cold, you can follow these thumb rules. That hay will give them the extra energy to keep them warm.
Well, there you go. That was Karen from Kentucky Performance Products with some. You might want to go back and just rewind and play that again. And I like that she just put it in flakes and didn't confuse the issue, because that's what you want to know. Okay, if it's down to 0, I need to feed 5 or 6 extra flakes a day. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to starve your horse to death then, or have him freeze to death at that point. So I wanted to mention, before we get into this, electronic logging devices and CMVs, which I spent my morning researching, and with the help of Kristen from Horse Nation, who wrote an article about it. And I'll see if I can make it any less confusing, or if we'll just be more confused when we're done. And everybody's been asking about it. It's been making its way around Facebook. So before we talk about that, next Thursday night, please leave the evening open at 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to do a video event in Wellington. We're doing a fundraiser for the para team riders and drivers. There's also para driving. And it's the WAG year, so which means that they all have to come up with more money. The paras are probably the most underfunded of all of the professional athletes. So we like to do these fundraisers for them in WAG years, because a lot of them have to travel. I know it's in the United States this year, but a lot of them travel from the West Coast. They have to go to test events. They have to go to qualifying events. It's just expensive. These are athletes that have seen challenges and have had medical bills beyond what any of us can imagine. So a lot of them, it's just a challenge to get to Wellington to do the qualifiers that they're doing this weekend. They started riding right now, actually. They're riding right now. My friend Charlotte, who I normally have lunch with on every Friday, she's down there and going to hopefully be riding this weekend. So we're going to be doing a fundraiser. Samantha Clark of the WEG show and Reese Koffler-Stanfield of the Dressage show are hosting it. And what we're going to be doing is basically hearing the stories of these amazing riders. They're all there. We're going to get them together. And we're going to have a little fun, too. We're going to goof around a little bit. But it's going to be a fundraiser. So we're going to be keeping track of how much money is raised during the show. It's a 2-hour event. But when you hear some of the stories and some of the amazing things that these athletes have had to do to overcome the challenges they've had, and to make it to Olympic level, then it's just heartwarming and inspiring, and we want you all to be part of that. It's a video event. The video will be out on all of our websites. It'll be on Horses in the Morning's homepage, as well as many other media partners are going to be carrying the videos. You'll see a lot of promotion for it on Facebook. And we just want you to join us. If you can afford to donate a few dollars, fine. And what we really need from our audience is help in promoting the event, putting links out to the Facebook pages. Right now, you can go to WEG, W-E-G, WEG Parathon, P-A-R-A-T-H-O-N.com. WEGParathon.com has all the details. It has the donate button. That's the website we'll be promoting all this week and during the parathon. So we definitely want you involved, and we would love to have you help the para riders out this year. And we'll be talking more about that as we get into next week. All right. Jamie, and you've seen this. Our auditors have posted a bunch of times. Everybody has seen it coming across their feed about the electronic logging devices. Am I considered a commercial driver? Am I considered not a commercial driver? Is my vehicle commercial? Is my vehicle not commercial? I'm sure you've seen that, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what this refers back to, and I'm going to do the best I can here, but when we're done, you're going to still have a lot of questions. I guarantee you. Because I did too. So what we have is MAP 21. That's the bill name, MAP 21, that was enacted by Congress in 2012. It had some delayed things in it, and one of those delayed things started happening in December 18th of 2017, so last month. And that was the ELD stage, which is the electronic logging devices. And what that does is it tracks it's hooked into your vehicle, your truck, and it tracks how many hours you're actually driving, how many hours you're sitting, and all of that information can be available to a police officer, any kind of motor vehicle officer that stops you. They can plug into that and see if you've been violating the number of hours rules that you're allowed to drive and things. So that's what it does.
If you haven't, do they give you like a cookie or something?
No.
Yes, you get a lollipop. I read that.
You do?
Yeah, okay, there's got to be positive reinforcement in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You get a lollipop.
For some reason, whenever I've been stopped, there's not a lot of positive reinforcement. I'm just saying.
Not usually. Not usually, no. So why would anybody get this thing?
Okay, so first we have to talk about what constitutes a commercial motor vehicle. And this directly relates to horse people. So if your vehicle gross weight is over 10,000 pounds, that's your pickup truck or whatever truck you're using to haul your trailer, is over 10,000 pounds, it's considered a commercial motor vehicle. Okay?
The truck and trailer together,
just the truck. Okay, that's just the truck. Now, there's not a lot of pickup trucks that are going to go over 10,000 pounds.
Is my 3500 Dodge Dually over 10,000 pounds?
You open up the driver's door, there's going to be a little tag on the driver's door. It's going to tell you your gross vehicle weight on that tag.
Okay, I'll be right back.
All right, look at that. And then there's the combined gross vehicle weight, which is both the truck and the trailer combined. And if that is over 26,000 pounds, then you're considered a commercial motor vehicle.
Empty?
Empty. Right,
no.
Jennifer? It's empty, right?
No. Gross weight is...
But that'll tell... It's what's on the tag.
Yeah.
It's what's on the tag.
Because whatever's on the tag.
Whatever's on the tag.
The tag tells you.
Yep. And now, so any single vehicle over 26,000 pounds, and what that is a truck. What are they called, Jennifer? The straight haulers where you put the horses right in the truck. They're popular in Europe.
Horse van?
Horse van. Thank you.
A lorry.
Yeah, a lorry or a horse van. If your horse van is over 26,000 pounds, then you're commercial. Now, there's other rules, too. If you're a professional trainer and your rig is part of your business, it's considered commercial. So if you're full-time in the business of horses and your rig is part of your business, in other words, you're writing it off, you're a commercial vehicle. If you're a sponsored rider and you're considered a professional... or you're getting sponsored by people and they're actually giving you stuff or money, then your truck and trailer is considered commercial. Essentially, if your truck and trailer is used for profit or for business purposes, it's considered a commercial vehicle and all the commercial vehicle rules apply. And by the way, it's always been that way. Just most people just ignored it. At that point, you're going to need a commercial vehicle sticker. You're going to need the pen or whatever dot you are in your state, your DOT number. We used to have that, right, Jennifer, for our pickup truck when we had our tack business.
Yes.
We had a DOT number. So we had that with our tack business. If you haul to a horse show with the intent to win prize money, technically, you're also considered commercial. If you haul someone else's horse and you accept money from them to offset your costs, you're commercial.
So somebody gives you $10 in gas money, you're commercial?
You're commercial, technically, by the way the law goes. Now, we'll talk about who's actually going to follow all of this in a minute. So technically, all of those people are considered commercial. Now, what the law says as far as having this electronic device on your truck is the purposes of the ELD is to log the hours of driving time performed by a driver. Legally, a driver can only be on the road for 11 hours in a 14-hour stretch. So how long does it take you to get to Monty's, let's say, or to get to Temecula, or wherever you go to that horse show in California?
Monty's is 12 hours. Galway is about 6.5, and Copper Meadows down in San Diego is about 5.5.
Okay, so you're okay with all of those. And what that means is 11 hours.
Well, Monty's is 12.
Yep, so you're close. In a 14-hour period stretch, you can only do 11 hours, which means that for the 12-hour drive, you would have to stop for breaks. You would have to stop for a half an hour break. And that, by the way, the breaks are required to be a half an hour. So that means with breaks, you can still only drive a total of 11 hours in a 14-hour stretch.
Now, let's stop there.
Yep.
Let me point out that that's the driver,
yes,
not the vehicle.
Correct.
You can go straight through as long as you change drivers.
How do they know that?
But see,
I don't know.
Yeah, and that is one of the questions. So that is one of the questions that's interesting. And the only way they know this is if you're stopped for an inspection or a traffic stop and they plug in and they see that you've been violating
the
time.
I think the ELD, you have to log in and log out of it, I bet you.
Yes. And
as the driver. So if you lie and, I'm gonna log in as George now, even though George didn't come along with me and keep driving. Okay, then you've committed a federal crime, but you've also skirted the edge.
It says those drivers that are hauling horses will be required to stop their drive once the 14-hour maximum has been met and cannot start their trip again until the mandatory 10-hour rest period has passed. It is important to note that the ELD will automatically keep track of any violations, such as going over vehicle speed or driving past the 14-hour limit. So it's also tracking your speed, which is interesting. And the violation is recorded on the device and then can be reviewed by the authorities. So now there's an interesting chart that's been going around Facebook. It's probably one of the best ones I've seen, and we'll post it on our Facebook page. Jennifer can post it there too. It was done by Rutgers. It really does go over who's supposed to get a CDL. Because remember, if you're driving a commercial vehicle, you're supposed to have a commercial driver's license too, which means getting a commercial driver's license. So not only do you have to get an ELD, you also have to get a commercial driver's license, which means you basically could drive a tractor-trailer truck. Now, my problem with that is you see these bus-size RVs all over Florida being driven by 84-year-old women, 85-year-old guys and women, going slowly down the highway, that they don't need a special license to drive that frickin' bus that you know weighs over 26,000 pounds. But they don't need a special license for that. But to do all of this, you do. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, and this is where most of our listeners are probably going to fall into one of the exceptions. If you operate within a 100-mile radius of your starting location and you really don't get out of that 100 miles, then you're probably fine. If you start and return to the same location with 12 hours time, you're probably going to be fine. If you don't drive more than 11 hours, you're probably going to be fine. And if you're just hauling to a show for recreation, you're probably going to be fine. So they do not apply to short haul transportation of horses. So if you're just hauling horses from less than that 10 hours. And it does say if you're hauling for recreational purposes or not showing for prize money, you're exempt. So, Jamie, you're fine because you're never winning a damn thing.
I'm always chasing the money.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. But
so this is what the thing is, though. So how many of these things do we have to have? Is the truck weighs that much, but I'm not hauling for prize money. So do I still have to have it? Like, if we have one of these things, we have to have the ELD, electronic logging device?
Yes. But now, I asked Kristen today, it was funny, because I asked her, I said, because she did this extensive article and did a lot of research on it. I said, how many people are actually going to do this? And she said the same number of people that actually made sure they were within the law before the ELD, which is 99% of the drivers hauling horses that just never worried about the law that was before, because this has always been the law. You've had to have you had to list your commercial vehicle and you had to have a CDL before. The only thing that changed was the electronic device. So you were supposed to keep logbooks and do all of that anyway.
One get an electronic logging device?
Well, that's a good question, which I don't have an answer for you right now. But you'll probably find out when you take your CDL and get your new driver's license. So that's probably where you're going to find out there, because that's another step in the process. So Kristen was like, the same people who violated the law before are going to violate the law again. They're going to ignore it. Jennifer, you made a good point, too. How about we worry about what did you say earlier?
Oh, I think the greater concern here is not whether or not you have a CDL or an ELD, but whether or not you follow the speed limit, change your tires, make sure your lights work, check your brakes.
Yeah.
So you don't get pulled over. I don't care if you get pulled over. Let's not get in a wreck.
Yeah.
You know, wrecks are caused by blowing tires and brakes that don't work and speeding in an appropriate
Jennifer's
places.
Point was most people never get their brakes checked, let alone worry about a CDL, right? So
I'm like, just make sure my lights work. So if I flip on my blinker, then I don't get pulled over because there's a cop behind me going, your light didn't work.
Yeah.
I was going more for that.
Denise is also working on getting a person from one of the DOTs on to explain it.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Yeah,
that's why we decided to cover it now, because we haven't had such good luck with that yet. But that's where we're at.
I'm taking Abby's horse to Galway with me, and she's going to give me some gas money.
Are you over 11 hours?
ELD and no, I thought it was only one thing. So is your horse, is it a CMV, which is a commercial motor vehicle? Yes, if you have a gross vehicle weight. Yes, if you're hauling somebody in.
Is yours going to be over 26,000 with the two?
My last trailer was.
Yeah, your big trailer would have been, but I'm not sure this one would be.
No, my trailer is like 7,000 pounds. It's crazy.
Of course, you have a fat-ass truck. It might be approaching 10,000.
I thought you were saying that if you have one of these things, if you check any one of these boxes, then you have to get one.
Yep, that's right.
So if she gives me $20 for gas, I got to go. And by the way, where do you get an electronic logging device? Online, and you have to buy it, and they're about $150.
Yep. But don't forget about your CDL, too. Your commercial driver's license.
Oh, yeah, I gotta go get that, too. You know what? Keep your damn $20, Abby. I'm calling.
Oh, and don't forget about registering your truck with your state as a commercial vehicle and getting that,
I think those are different
too.
Plans,
yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget about that.
Yeah, I think that's a different line you get to stand in.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of a pain. Jennifer had to do it when we had we just had, a 3/4 ton pickup truck, but we were hauling a trailer that was used for commercial purposes. So
nerd, following the laws, you nerd. Yeah.
Yeah, because we had to go through the weigh stations and do all of that.
See, that's what I was
going
to ask, dude. Do you have to go through a weigh station if you have an ELD and a commercial driver's?
Here in Florida, you do. Yeah. Plus in Florida, of course, we have the ag stations as well. So
yeah,
we go
through the ag stations going to California, and now you must have a current Coggins and health cert within 30 days. It used to be, they changed the rules.
30
going
days? It
California.
Used to be longer than that, didn't it?
So it's 30 days for your health cert. Okay. And then your Coggins has to be current within a year. Not a lot of people know this. You know how when you live, wherever you live, you have to have a Coggins to go anywhere? Like in Kentucky, if you want to go to Masterston, you better have a Coggins.
Right.
If you want to go to the horse park, every
it's
horse
the same
trail
here,
entry you
even
had
going
to, have
to trail ride at one of the state parks, you have to have your Coggins with you.
It's not like that in Arizona.
Really?
I literally go and send in my entries to Coconino Horse Trials, which is in Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't include a Coggins. They
really?
Don't require it. You are not required to have a Coggins anywhere in Arizona to go places.
What's that say? The only state requires it.
It's the only state. It's bizarre. I don't know. I've never lived anywhere, but we're going to California. So now we have to go get, oh crap, we got to get Coggins and health certificates. So we've got the appointment scheduled. So yeah, you don't even have to have a current Coggins. Now I always have one because I go to California back and forth because it's next state over and there's an ag station there. And if you enter a horse trial in California, you have to send a copy of your Coggins with your entry, like any normal.
Oh, so they want it ahead of time?
Yeah, so you have to send it in with your entry. Now, mine is out of date, so I'm sending in the out of date one with the little sticky note that says, I promise I'll have a current one by the time I come.
I'll be legal.
See if I get charged that $25, fee for having an incomplete entry. But yeah, so it's very bizarre here that is the situation. It used to be you could go to California and they would say, how long are you staying? And you could go, 2 days. And they'd go, okay, head on through. And they wouldn't look at your paperwork. Because if you were under 2 weeks, if you weren't staying there for longer than 2 weeks, they didn't care about your papers. Now they check them every time. But my thought was like, if I'm going to California and I'm staying there anytime and I have a sick horse, it doesn't matter if I stay there 2 weeks, everybody's getting infected. So that's kind of my
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, you're right.
It's weird. Sorry, I'm just going on a tangent because I'm in the midst of dealing with this right now with the entries and all that stuff. So anyway.
Well, there, I hope we can get somebody on to confuse it even more. Because if we get somebody on from one of the DOTs, it's probably going to be more confusing when we're done. So,
yeah.
But Denise, keep trying. See if you can get somebody to commit to actually, you know what I think the problem is? They can't find anybody who actually understands it in any of the states either. So I think that's where we're running into.
Hey, you know what? Can you give me a few minutes here? Because I hear Lucas in the other room and Chad, and they both need me. Oh, wait. No, they don't. Because they're out of town, and I won't
hear. I'll say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
All right, we are time for Really Bad Ads, and it's our first Really Bad Ads of 2018. And this is, of course, for new listeners, this is the time, most popular thing we do every week on any of the shows. When listeners look at Craigslist or Facebook and they find some ads that are maybe not written quite, maybe there's just not quite enough information, too much information, or they just are bad. And we have a little fun with them on Fridays. Now, we have prizes. What we do is everybody that submits an ad all month long, with their name gets put in a hat, and we draw some winners at the end of the month. And this month, we have a box of crap, the most coveted prize. And this is all the crap in my closet that has accumulated over the last month or two. And I put it in a box, and I ship it to you so that you now have a box of crap. But everybody seemed, it is on people's bucket lists, their lifelong bucket list to win the box of crap.
No, so, it's not.
Yes, it is, actually. We've seen post that. I've seen many hundreds of people post that. Thousands of people have posted that.
Like literally a million people.
A million people have said that to me in the past week alone. And
literally,
in addition to the box of crap, we're also giving away a book called Brain Training for Riders. Unlock your riding potential with stressless training techniques for conquering fear, improving performance, and finding focused calm. It's written by Andrea Montserrat Waldo. I love this first paragraph on the back. It says, did you know there's an area of your brain known as the lizard brain that only thinks about the immediate moment and your means of survival? Yes, in certain circumstances, your rational brain can effectively shut down, and you are at the mercy of a reptile, dry mouth, sweating, queasy, unable to think clearly, even though you know better. I didn't know that was supposed to be an exceptional thing, because I apparently have lizard brain 24 hours a day. I thought it was ADD, and now I know I just have lizard brain.
It's lizard brain.
I have lizard brain.
Sweaty
because
and dry mouth all the time. All the time.
All the time. And unable to think clearly. This is the way I live my life. Now I have a name for it. It's lizard brain. So you're going to find out all about lizard brain if you win this book on today's or on this month's Really Bad Ads.
Cool.
All right. Let's get started. First one is from Joy. Red Quarter Horse, $500 in Bristol. Approximately 5-year-old quarter horse gelding. My beginner daughter rides him. Can be stubborn. Needs a firm rider. Has some bad habits, but nothing that can't be worked out with time. My daughter has lost interest and he bullies my horse. He hates ponies. He's lazy when you're on him, so his worst habit is stopping and not wanting to go. I've had him full out across the field and he can scoot. Would make a great barrel horse. Just needs some motivation.
It reminds me of that time where you've seen the videos where the people have a fishing pole and they carry it in front of it.
Yes.
Is that like going to make him
yes.
run barrels?
Yes.
There you go.
I love that. I love all the contradictions here. No, a great barrel horse really wants to go. Not just.
But he's lazy yeah. and he stops.
He stops.
And he's a balker.
He's really not a good barrel horse when they do that. No, no.
My daughter rides him when he stands still because he won't move.
And doesn't like ponies and probably doesn't like other horses and probably doesn't like much. Just saying.
Yeah,
is this the
much.
One you were on the other day? Or you tried to work with the other day that you had to scoot out? Same one?
No, mine was worse.
It wasn't a red quarter horse? Okay.
No. So Hannah sent in the next one, and it says, remember, these people didn't write them. They just send them in for the prizes. Hannah sent this one in, black and white gelding, $800 in Rock Island, Tennessee. All right, we're going to have to change this up a little bit, y'all. All right, black and white gelding and $800. He's a saddle. Oh, there's no punctuation in this. They don't use periods and commas in Tennessee. He's a saddle horse. He's about 9 years old, rides good and fast. He's probably 14.5, 15 hand. He is great. Horse about half and half on the experience his rider. Part he's been rode on many trails. As do have a nice saddle, really nice, but it would take $1,000 to get them both.
Did you hear that? I thought a half and half in there and thought of coffee. That's where I went. I don't know.
I know.
I have no idea.
I'm like, I'm reading as I'm reading it, I don't know what I'm reading. So what is half and half on experiences rider part? He's been rode on. And then next line, many trails.
I don't know. As, I have no idea.
You take $1,000 to get a both gun. That's all you need to know right there.
That's right. It's black and white. What more do you want?
He's 14.5, which means he's 15.1.
Robin Kane sent the following one, and she helped us out. You get double the credits, yes. Double the entries if you read your own.
Okay. So this is a big bay gelding, $1,200. Big 16-hand gelding, good feet, straight legs, heavy-boned, and tough, T-U-F-F. Quarter X thorough breed, good. I've roped tons of calves on him, a few cows, a few yearlings, ran stock out of the arena at our local a few times, knows his basic cowboy shit, sort, open gates, etc. Bad. He's stubborn, proud cut, rusty, buddy sour, and blown up on the trail. Best suited for flat ground and corral work with an experienced rider. I use him every once in a while, moving stuff in the pastures, or if I need to dock something. I don't need him, so it's time to go. $1,200 OB, open to trades. What you got?
Nothing for you. Nothing. I've got nothing.
They always start with the two good things and always end with the 25 bad things. Just like the commercials, just like the commercials for every medicine ever made. You know, this medicine is to cure your diarrhea, but can cause explosive diarrhea. Yeah.
This will help you with your heart problems and will really thin out your cholesterol. However, side effects may include
death,
toxic. And then they go on for side effects forever. I wish I was clever enough to like.
And the last one is always death.
Yeah.
And you can die.
May cause explosive diarrhea or death.
Or death. They do it with the horses, too. It's the two good things and the 25 bad things. You know, when you're selling something, I would recommend anybody listening that's writing an ad, put the 25 bad things and then put the two good things. So you're leaving people in the mind with the good things.
I got one. Carbamazepine is approved treatment for bipolar disorder and epileptic seizures, but has side effects including ADD, ADHD, schizophrenia, phantom limb syndrome, paroxysmal extreme pain disorder, neuromyotonia, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Please take at your own risk. Talk to your doctor before. Yeah.
Michelle sent the following one in. CA Horses for Sale, Facebook. How do I write this ad and not sound heartless? Big black warm blood thoroughbred gelding. Big and pretty and super nice mover. 7 years old. There's all the good stuff. Jumps super cute and does changes.
And bad.
And now the bad stuff. He does not tie. He will not tie. He is awesome most of the time. When he is not awesome, he is completely checked out. You dated some guys like that, actually.
I work with that guy.
He will stop and stand there. He is completely checked out. He will stop and stand there. I will trade or sell, taking first decent offer. $1,200 or best offer. No trials, because he'll kill you. Don't need trainers offering to help me sell him, neither. Good home only. She has tried to sell this horse before. She has. This horse is
no trials. Oh, but they could probably try him. They just can't take him out on trial, I'm assuming. Yeah.
She's done trials before, and he's been returned every time.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do with a horse that does not tie, by the way?
You teach it to ground tie.
Yeah, you hope.
Or you teach it to tie. You take the time to actually teach it. Train it, you know?
Oh, like train it.
Yeah, training. Yeah. That's one of those things.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Still
a thing we do?
Some people do that. But like Jet, the horse that I had, the Thoroughbred, the Nightmare, he didn't tie, but he had like massive PTSD. He was tied up for 4 months and starved to death. So you could not straight tie him. He would cross tie though. We had that.
Scooter will not cross tie, but will tie straight. If you cross tie him, he lays down and tries to roll and hangs himself.
Good boy. Yeah. It's a neat trick. You should video that and go viral.
Yeah, good. He's making the rounds again in his other video, so why not?
This one comes to us from Rebecca. Rebecca, who I think might live in Arizona, actually. This is in Prescott Valley. They call it here in Arizona. It looks like Prescott, but they call it Prescott. I hate that. Appy Mare for sale, registered $1,100. This is in Concho, Arizona. No punctuation in Arizona either. All I have for sale is a young mare Greenbroke for $1,100. I don't check Messenger too often. Prefer my email at she has a lacy blanket and some roan will be about 14.3, maybe a bit larger. Due to mini ride, I need to sell her. Very smart, had never bucked and stood forever to let someone mount. She is registered and DNA tested. She is on all breed pedigree under China Doll.
I don't even know what you're selling.
I don't even know what I read.
Is it a dog, a cat, a horse? I don't know.
It's a picture of a bay horse that just looks kind of dirty, and there's all these mules behind it.
He's donkeys, used to getting actually. Kicked, so you'll be fine. He does well in large groups.
Exactly. Not afraid of mules.
No, not afraid of mules. Should have put that in there. James sent the following one in. Thank you, James. Oh, it's our trailer of the week. Okay, so this is the description. Only description is antique horse trailer with ramp, $400 in New Plymouth. Well, antique might, you know, when I think of antiques, I think of a nice piece of furniture that's been around for 100 years, still looks good. When I think of
maybe
an antique car, I think of a restored car, the hot rod that looks great. This is not what I would call an antique. This is what I would call a rundown piece of crap. It's your typical two-horse front or round front trailer, but this doesn't have a back or a top. It's a convertible, and it's mostly made of plywood. And do you see the tire on the left there, Jamie?
It's a little flat.
A little. It's been flat for the last 25 years. It's very flat.
And it's plywood. Like, the walls are plywood. So
they
all
only
it
come
would
up
take
about
would be
3 feet, 2 feet maybe.
I was thinking if a horse kicked it, but I'm almost sure I could get a hole in it if I just flicked it really hard.
It was painted yellow at one time, and then they decided to make it clever, and they painted it white, and then they made yellow and white stripes. So it kind of looks like...
Then there's... It's an Appaloopa, because it's got some rust color spots.
An Appaloopa. That's pretty good. Well, thank you, James.
You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of those flags that the little flag waver people in the marching bands have. It's one of those.
Yeah. Well,
is there a metal pipe just willy-nilly sitting there like tetanus
on the side of the trailer? Yes, there is. I don't know why that's there.
There's just a metal
pipe. It probably had a purpose at one point.
Could impale itself.
I don't know. And the ramp doesn't look like it probably work. It's probably rusted shut, so your horse is going to have to jump in over the 3 foot ramp.
Yeah, you can't put that ramp down. And if you did, his feet would go through it because it's also plywood.
Yeah.
That's 4,700 years old. All right.
All right. Jennifer's going to post that on Facebook.
This is just bad. How much is it? $400. I'd set that thing on fire. That's the only way I'd find a home for
roast
that.
Roast some marshmallows.
You know what? Bonfire,
bitches! You'd die of toxicity if you roasted this one. So don't put marshmallows over it.
Kelly sent this one in. Frisian horse for sale, $5,900 in Wisconsin. It's expensive. Oh, So it says Frisian horse for sale. You click on the ad and it says half Frisian. Not real Frisian. Half Frisian, quarter Morgan, quarter Dale's pony. 3-year-old gelding. Thank God they gelded it. Has had a year of aggressive quality training. 8 hours a day for a year. 3 years old. Loads ties stands for farrier. By the way, there are many things such as Frisian and farrier that are misspelled. This horse has been taught its fears and walk toward it under command. Every time I take this horse amongst people, I get compliments.
Just picture him out in the middle of this town square riding the horse around
people
to get compliments.
Come to me and compliment my horse.
My guess is by using the word aggressive and taught its fears, that it wasn't Monty Roberts' methods.
They beat the shit out of that horse. Sorry. If you're sticking around this long, you can handle that S word.
Yes, that's right. So, and we had apparently Robin already said it in the show today anyway. Yeah. So now when I first started, doing this horse thing, and I had to ask Jennifer, I said, how do you get a half Frisian, a quarter Morgan, and a quarter Dale's pony? Are there two daddies? I don't know. How does that work? Do we mix up?
Well, I was trying to think, I'm like, okay, half of it's a Frisian, one quarter of it is Morgan, one quarter is Dale's. So is it a Morgan Dale's half and half bred to a Frisian, or is it a half Frisian, half Morgan, and a half Frisian and a half Dale's, which then bred together to make a half Frisian because you take those quarters and then you put the Morgan and Dale's together and those are both an eighth, so that makes a quarter?
It's Friday and I have not had alcohol yet.
This is a horse girl mad. Chad will be like, I was sitting there thinking about our savings and our retirement plan. And I'm like, well, if a horse is a quarter Dale and a quarter Morgan and a half Frisian, that's my thinking math right there. Okay. Beth sent in the next one.
Yeah. Cause I didn't have enough alcohol yet to think about that. All right. So Beth sent the following in: Paint Horse Clay Center. That's the town. There's no punctuation in this one either.
Take a deep breath.
Hi, I have a free paint horse. He is almost looking for a good home. He is not broke to ride, but he has want to learn, and I had him out breeding a friend's mare, and his teeth went bad, and he dropped and lost weight, and he is recently gelded, and he's getting his weight back, and I have him saddled and ridden a few times.
Oh, my God, save that horse. Oh, my God.
His teeth went bad and fell out, apparently. I don't know.
let me give you the actual reader, the real version of this. Right. If like a normal person were to write this ad. Hi, I have a paint horse. He's for free because I'm just really trying to find him a good home. I wouldn't say that he's been gentled, but he really has the desire to get out there and have a job. I did unfortunately breed him to a mare, but we've since had him castrated because unfortunately, I can't even logically say that he bred a friend's mare and his teeth went bad. That, I can't tie those two together.
Those things should not be in the same sentence.
I had him out breeding a friend's mare and his teeth went bad. I got it.
I was wondering if that was a thing. I was going to ask you. I didn't know.
So I unfortunately bred him to a mare and she kicked him in the mouth and he broke all of his teeth. So unfortunately, after that, he lost a lot of weight, but we've fixed him up now, castrated him, and he's looking a lot better, and I've even started his training. Does that sound better?
That sounds better.
Instead of, I got a free paint horse, he's almost looking for a good home, he's not broke dry, but he's wanting to learn how to mount breeding a friend's mare, and his teeth went bad, and he dropped and lost weight, and he's recently gelded and getting his weight back on. I've had him saddled and ridden a few times.
And he's drinking only soup now because he has no teeth.
I don't understand how you can tie together breeding a friend's mare. Why do you need to describe to me that it's a friend? Give me the information I
need. I got stuck in the first line. He is almost looking for a good home. Well, either he is or he isn't. I mean, are we looking for a good home or don't we care? I don't know.
Or we almost really just don't care.
We don't really care.
Marianne sent the next one in, the last one. This has been a really fantastic batch.
Yes, Ben.
Thank you, by the way. Sorry, I got a little carried away a few times.
You've had too many donkeys.
Now, wait a minute. You almost got carried away a few times.
I almost did. Yeah. Almost went on tangents. I do, you're right, Jennifer. I got too much sleep last night. I am on point this morning. I'm sleeping like a starfish tonight. If you don't know what I mean, just spread your arms and legs out as wide as you can and pretend you're a starfish and put yourself right down the middle of your bed by yourself with a couple dogs. Great. Mini donkeys for sale. Pair of Jennies, 4 years old, will not separate. Formerly petting zoo interns and were asked to leave the zoo. Oh, we're asked to leave. And the zoo refused to give a referral when I called them.
Didn't work too well at the petting zoo, huh?
Let me read this and we'll figure out what they're trying to say here. I haven't finished it right now. Most recent job experience as herd protectors and got employee of the month 3 months running. Unfortunately, the herd they are so voraciously protecting is my family. From our 4 tried and true trail horses. So, if your cattle, goat, chicken, emu, grass-fed pig operation is looking to fill the position of herd protector with a top-notch experienced candidate, drop me a text.
So basically, they're going out to get their horses to bring them in and tack them up to go trail riding, and they can't get near them because these two are kicking the crap out of them.
Don't you come near my horses. Yeah. Oh, my God. So basically, they were petting zoo donkeys, and they were so bad. They were so miserable.
They kicked them out.
And they couldn't get a referral. That's funny.
And then they're like, hey, can we get like a no click?
We don't know anything about those donkeys.
That is so funny.
They are definitely zombie donkeys, those two.
There you go.
Oh, that was a perfect one to end on.
Oh, my face hurts.
Yeah. That was a great batch, everybody. Good batch of ads. Keep looking. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for next week, and you'll be entered in to win the really big box of crap or the book, Brain Training for Riders.
You should just keep that
lizard
one.
Brain. You can learn all about lizard brain.
Apparently you should just keep that.
Yeah, I should read it. All right, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back again on Monday. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. Be safe out there. God, the East Coast got clobbered last night, and just seems that all over the country you're getting bad weather, and now another Arctic freeze. So be safe. We're thinking about you, and we'll see you on Monday.
Bay Neuter Geld. Hey, Glenn, at least Jennifer thinks we're funny.
One person.